We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Mookie swings it. He hits it high and deep to left. Down the line it goes. It is gone. A three-run home run. A Mookie moment in the Bronx.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Yankees.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss. Strike three. The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship for the third straight year. For the first time in Red Sox history, they have finished in first place in three consecutive seasons. They beat the Yankees 11-6.
Dial 617-779-7937. Red Sox Review with Patrick Gilroy.
Welcome in. It is Red Sox Review right here, Sports Radio. WEEI, Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And your Red Sox, they are the 2018 American League East champions. We'll talk about that tonight in our first hour. Look, this was a win that this team simply had to have. Not because they weren't eventually going to get it done, but for other reasons. You know, there's been some doubt that's been creeping in recent days here after the first couple of games in New York. It's just the nature of the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. And I think everybody went into that first game a couple of days ago in New York hoping that that would be the night. And then, of course, David Price, who had been red hot since the All-Star break, was unable to get it done yesterday. And suddenly you're 0-2 in New York, and this thing is sort of hanging over you a little bit. I'm glad they had the opportunity to get this thing done. I'm glad they wrapped it up. And now we get to talk about this Red Sox team in a matter of fact, so to speak. No more hypotheticals, no more what-ifs. We know what this team is as far as the regular season goes. So now the question for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. I want to know, are Red Sox fans excited about this? This is the third consecutive year that your Red Sox are now the AL East champions. We saw how that worked out the two previous years. Is this something that excites you still, or is this just simply a stepping stone to hopefully something bigger? We'll talk about that tonight in the first hour. Look, there were some good things that took place tonight. There was some good clutch hitting, a couple of comebacks in this game for the Red Sox, but that's what they've done for the majority of the season. And that is what the experts will tell you, the pundits will tell you, the national guys will tell you, will not happen in the playoffs. They'll say that, you know, in these regular season games, yeah, you can win with offense. You can come back multiple times in a game like the Red Sox did tonight. But ultimately here, you can't afford to fall behind in a playoff game the way that this Red Sox team has a tendency to do. And I think that when you look at this team and you look at the offensive talent that this team has, maybe this team has the talent to sort of rewrite those rules. Maybe this team has got the talent to win in a different way. You know, you look at the league that I cover predominantly is the NBA. And for the last 10 or 15 years, there's been this school of thought that you have to have a minimum of a big three to win a championship. But there's always an outlier. There's always a team here and there that's able to do it in a different way. Now, generally, they don't do it in a different way consistently year after year after year, the way that like the Golden State Warriors have done right now. But, you know, you do get your Detroit Pistons 2004 mixed in there once in a while. You do get the Dallas Mavericks 2011 mixed in there once in a while, where the teams are talented. There's still elite players there, but they're clearly not the most talented team in the league. They found ways to win, other ways to win that are non-traditional, that sort of go against your traditional postseason grain. And when you look at this Red Sox team and you look at the holes that this team has, specifically middle relief, it's what we've talked about all season long here, maybe this team will find a way to overcome that deficit, and this will be the outlier. This will be the team that has got enough premium offensive talent that can overcome things of that nature. So we'll talk about that tonight with you guys. And are you excited about what we're seeing from Steven Wright? Because Yeah, for all the excitement in tonight's game, you're watching up here right now. This team is still popping bottles, champagne everywhere. They have every right to feel great about themselves as they've now won 104 games. It's incredible. It's incredible to see what this team has been able to do. But Stephen Wright, I think, and we've talked about him for the last 2 or 3 weeks here on Red Sox Review and on Late Night on the weekends together, it's tough to trust a knuckleballer, especially in the postseason. But when you look at the lack of overall depth, the lack of overall talent that this team has got in middle relief, and then you got a guy in Stephen Wright that goes out there and gives you three great innings in relief today, just one hit, two strikeouts, and he's as good as this team has had coming out of relief than anybody. I mean, he has been the best, I think, middle relief pitcher, middle relief option that this team has had for, I don't know, the last month or so since he's come back. He's performed better than anybody had previous to him as well. Is it sustainable? Is that something that we trust going into the playoffs? I don't know. Traditionally, you don't trust a knuckleballer in key situations in the playoffs. Historically, it hasn't worked out all that well. However, I just went on a 2-minute opening ramble here about trusting this team to maybe be able to do things that are non-traditional, things that other successful teams have not been able to do. So maybe this team can win with offense in the playoffs. Maybe this team can win by trusting Stephen Wright in middle relief in the playoffs. I don't know. I know that this team has got a tremendous amount of overall talent on the roster, but I also know that this is the year that they need to capitalize on that talent. This is the year that things need to be different for this team. 93 wins last year, AL East champions, they don't get out of the first round. We know what happened the year before that, 93 wins, AL East champions, they don't get out of the first round. This is a team that is primed with talent, but this talent is not guaranteed to stick around here more than next year. When you look at the contractual situations of these guys, this is the team that's got to capitalize right now, so they've got to put their faith in guys not named Mookie Betts, not named J.D. Martinez, not named David Price, not named Chris Sale. Those guys, I think, will ultimately do their jobs. And yes, I do think that David Price will have his first postseason victory this year. I really do. I've got a great feeling about David Price. I know that he struggled in New York. He had a tough game. But ultimately here, there's been so much more good than bad from David Price that I think that this has got to be the year that he breaks through in the postseason. So I fully expect the stars on this team to perform like stars, where in years past, maybe they haven't been able to do so. But that's not going to be enough for this team to achieve its ultimate goal. That might not even be enough for this team to make it out of the first round, right? You're going to need to put your trust, put your faith in a guy like Eduardo Rodriguez or Nathan Evalde or, yes, Stephen Wright. And one of those guys, two of those guys, three of those guys is going to have to come through in critical situations in the postseason for this team to ultimately have its best chance of advancing. So we'll talk about that tonight here on Sports Radio. WEEI coming up a little bit later in the program. I do want to get into this whole John Sterling, Joe Castiglione swap. I hated it. I couldn't stand it. I thought it was a joke when I first heard the promo a few weeks ago. I was just blown away that they did this. Look, John Sterling, it works in New York. It's cheesy. It's New York. It is what it is. That sort of thing doesn't work, in my opinion, in Boston. It's cringeworthy in Boston. And I thought that maybe we were above that sort of tactic. That's what, I don't know, that seemed to me like a minor league baseball promotional type thing. It seemed like something that was beneath the Boston Red Sox, beneath WEEI, and beneath Entercom. So if you hated it, if you loved it, if you disagree with me, I do want to get opinions on that as well. I hope it was a one-shot deal. I hope it's something that we'll never see or hear ever again. So,
Aaron is judge and jury.
I hated it. I absolutely hated it. Coming up in the 1 o'clock hour, I do want to get into Josh Gordon a little bit here in the Patriots. I've been disgusted. I've been sickened by the armchair therapist that we've got all over the radio and TV here, apparently, in New England. I'm talking to you, Michael Felger. I'm talking to you, Peter King. I'm talking to you, everybody out there, essentially, that's judging this guy. I mean, you've got frauds. These guys are all frauds. Peter King is the biggest fraud of them all. John Wallach.
Gordon has got skeletons here.
John Wallach, lifetime flash guy, like 50-year-old flash boy John Wallach coming down on Josh Gordon. These people have to stop. I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I'm convinced that these guys have all got demons. These guys have all got skeletons. These guys have all got things that they wouldn't want to be made public. I'm not going to defend Josh Gordon for the mistakes that he has made, but ultimately here, he is a sick human being. If you read about him, if you do your research, he has been dealing with a crippling panic disorder and anxiety issue since he was in seventh grade. And that takes its toll on you. And these people that just want to label him an addict, label him a 10-cent brain, I believe, are the words that John Wallach used to describe him. These people have no idea what they're talking about. And tomorrow morning at 7:15, you're going to get an update here on WEEI from Kirk Minahan, who is taken an indefinite leave of absence because he's dealing with his own mental health issues. And what do we have? We've got, you know, armchair therapists, armchair drug counselors, armchair whatever. These people are out here and they are putting down a man that they have no idea what has taken place in his life to get him to this point in his life. I find it disgusting. I find it insulting. I find it archaic. It's an archaic way of thinking that these people have. And quite frankly, in a world where drug addiction is crippling our society, it doesn't help that you've got idiots like this with huge platforms out there continuing to shame people that are dealing with a debilitating and a crippling disease. Maybe these guys are lucky enough to not have to deal with it. Maybe these guys are lucky enough to have never had to deal with it. But it doesn't mean that it's okay to get on the air and to spew stuff that is just so factually incorrect, so heartless, so thoughtless. I hope they all get suspended. So we'll talk about that coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Until then, it's celebration time. Your Red Sox, they're the 2018 American League East champions. I want to know, what does it mean to you? Ultimately here, you know, we saw a lot of champagne popped in that locker room tonight. We saw people with their goggles on. I saw Tony La Russa doing the jig in the locker room tonight, okay? Tony La Russa was certainly enjoying his champagne tonight. Dave Dombrowski, again, he's there. He's popping bottles with this team. He knows that his job is potentially on the line with what this team is going to be able to accomplish or what they don't accomplish in the postseason. So there's going to be pressure on this team. But ultimately, tonight was a night for this team to celebrate. This was a night for this team to feel good about themselves. I'm wondering, how do the fans feel about the Boston Red Sox? Does tonight give you more confidence, or does it raise more questions? As Eduardo Rodriguez, he struggled tonight. It was sort of a flip-flop that we had tonight. Your starting pitcher struggled mightily tonight, but ultimately the team got a lift. The team got elevated from their bullpen. The team got three critical innings of work from Steven Wright. That's something that we have not been able to say much this year. So on one hand, yeah, it sucks that Erod had a tough night because he's been really, really good the last 6 weeks or so. On the other hand, for me, the most encouraging thing by far that I saw tonight was three innings of relief work where you had a guy actually go out there, do his job, and do it well. So we'll talk about that and a whole hell of a lot more as we continue here on Sports Radio. WEEI, room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Swing and a drive to right field. Back goes J.D. Martinez to the wall, and it is going gone. A grand slam. Giancarlo Stanton.
Swung on and hit in the air to right field. Martinez back on the track near the wall. She's gone. It's a grand slam. Giancarlo Nocifoscopalo. He hits a home run, a line drive in the right field seats. A grand slam.
It is Red Sox Review right here, Sports Radio, WEEI. It's Patrick Gilroy with you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And quickly, before I get out to the calls, yeah, I screwed up at the top of the show, apparently.
It is 1.05 a.m., yep. And here's what's trending now.
Yeah, it is. It was not 1.05 a.m. It was 12.05 a.m. I want to thank, I believe this gentleman's name is Richard Cahill. If it's not, you can correct me. But I want to thank him for texting in 21 times in less than 4 minutes to remind me that I gave the wrong time. I apologize 1,000 times to you. I hope you feel great about yourself tonight. I feel great. The Red Sox are AL East champions. You should feel great, too. All right, it is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy. I want to know if this matters, if this game matters, if this AL East championship matters, or if this is just another one of these things that we're going to look back at 3 or 4 weeks from now and say, not
good enough. Let's get right out to the calls. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in North Providence. Mike, lead us off tonight here on WEI.
Hi, Patrick. Yeah, you know, two notes, a quick one on Mookie. I mean, Mookie, this season, time and again, I see him coming up in situations. I'm like, this is an MVP at bat. This is a big moment. This isn't just like any moment. This is, they don't show up every game. They don't even necessarily show up every week. But this is like the MVPs come through here, and he is like consistently come through in those situations for me. I mean, that little bell goes off in my head. It's like he's kind of got that Derek Jeter gear where if it is really important, he just goes to a completely different level.
Let me ask you this, though, Mike. I mean, when you look at Mookie Betts this year, you look at him last year, and you go back to the year before that. 2 years ago, he was awesome. First time he really exploded onto the scene, David Ortiz was here, so he had some protection in the lineup. Last year, no David Ortiz. Mookie takes a step back. This year, the introduction of J.D. Martinez into the lineup, and what do you know, Mookie is back playing at this MVP level. So is he somebody that's going to need a big power bat to protect him in the lineup for him to be at this maximum level that we're seeing him at this year?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think that he's just batting leadoff again.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's been consistently much, much better batting leadoff no matter what the season was. And as far as, like, Stephen Wright, you know, I'm a big baseball, like, history guy, and the original closer was Hoyt Wilhelm. You know, he's the guy that basically invented the position. And he was a knuckleballer. And they would, you know, the Indians would have him going out there and, you know, pitching multiple innings time and time again. And he was the sort of guy, and Wright's showing this ability, to have that knuckleball and have control of that knuckleball consistently out of the pen. And just like in this season, you know, Wright has pitched about as many innings out of the pen as he has as a starter. As a starter, his ERA is 4.13. Out of the pen, it's 1.38. And, I mean, he has been excellent. And that one of the key things is that makes him better is when he's starting a game, they're taking batting practice with him in mind. You see what I'm saying? They're gearing themselves up for him, and they're going to see him two or three times as they cycle through the order.
Yeah.
When he's coming out of the bullpen, there's somebody who's throwing 95, and then suddenly they're seeing that thing, and they're only seeing it once, and then it's 95 again. And they're just having an incredibly difficult time zeroing in, and since he has been very good at attacking the zone and not getting wild all over the place, it's working like a charm.
Well, right now it is. My concern, again, I don't know how old you are, Mike. I'm 38, so I grew up in the Tim Wakefield era. So I got 15, 16 years of Tim Wakefield doing everything for this Red Sox team. I mean, literally starting, closing, and everything in between. But you'll never get 2003 out of your head if you're, you know, of my age. And that's what I think of when I think of a knuckleballer. For all the good that Tim Wakefield did in a Red Sox uniform, that 2003 Boone moment is never going to go away.
Well, I mean, honestly, he shouldn't have been in the game at that point. I actually walked visiting with my godfather. I walked into the backyard because I'm like, Boone barely missed hitting a home run off of him in Fenway. And I'm like, this guy's going to hit a home run off of Tim if he faces him. Because he was like, whenever you face Wakefield, what you wanted to do was swing out of your shoes. Don't try to guide the bat to the ball. Just let it rip. And that's what Boone did. And it caught up to him.
Yeah.
But in that postseason, he was actually pretty outstanding.
No, he was. His numbers were great. Mike, listen, I appreciate the phone call, and I always appreciate the history lesson here as well. I don't want to go back and completely rehash the 2003 Major League Baseball playoffs, but I will say this. That's what sticks in my head. You know, I got 15, 16 good years of memories of Tim Wakefield. He was so critical to everything that this Red Sox team did. He was an everyman for this team. There was nothing that he was unwilling to do for the benefit of the team. And ultimately, he wound up being very good at everything that he did, from starting to closing to everything in between. But that 2003 moment is one that will just haunt me for the rest of my life. So when I look at a guy like Stephen Wright out there, you know, throwing the knuckleball 65, 70 miles an hour, it doesn't look all that intimidating, right? It looks like something that a good high school or college hitter could potentially crush. And ultimately, I'm wrong here. The way that Stephen Wright is going right now, that knuckler is knuckling, and he is probably the Red Sox's best option in that long relief sort of spot. When you've got a starter that's able to go out there and give you somewhere between 4 and 6 innings worth of work, and you need somebody that you can trust to come in for 2 or 3 innings, who else right now has earned more trust than Stephen Wright. I don't think anybody has. I mean, when you look at your options, and we talked a lot the other night about Nathan Eovaldi, he's somebody that's very tempting. Like, it's tempting to take a Nathan Eovaldi, take him out of the starters, and make put him into the bullpen. He is somebody that I think ultimately he's not going to have a spot in the starting rotation. If it's a four-man rotation, Erod gets that fourth spot, meaning Nathan Eovaldi shifts into the bullpen. I think he's a pretty good option out of that bullpen as well. But he's somebody that can be a little bit wild with the baseball. When he's on and electric, he is as dangerous as anybody out there. But when he's not, he's way off, and he has a tendency to throw a 96, 97-mile-an-hour meatball right down the middle. But when you have Stephen Wright right now with that knuckleballer working the way that it's working, for me, he is your best option right now. And I can't believe this Red Sox team that's going to wind up winning, I don't know, 108 games, whatever that final number may be, this team is going to go into the playoffs relying on Nathan Eovaldi, relying on Stephen Wright. These guys are going to have to come through and come through in a big way in big spots, because you know one thing, you're not going to get 7 or 8 innings out of David Price. You're not going to get 7 or 8 innings out of Chris Sale. It's just an impossible ask. These guys aren't conditioned to do that, and we know in the playoffs you ultimately hardly ever get that. No matter how much somebody may be dialed in or how well somebody is pitching, ultimately here, you're averaging about 6 innings worth of work in the playoffs, which gives – you've got this giant gaping hole if you're the Red Sox. You've got 2 innings that you need to fill, 3 innings at times that you need to fill before you get to Kimbrel. And that's been this team's fatal flaw all season long. They haven't had the horses in that spot. And that's why Dombrowski was absolutely eviscerated, and rightfully so, for not getting any additional bullpen help at either one of the trade deadlines. So now they're relying on internal pieces, internal sources, and maybe those 2 guys are your best options. It is Sports Radio WEEI. It is Patrick Gilroy here with you guys until 2 o'clock in the morning. Room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to the calls. Let's go to Paul. Paul's in Concord. Paul, you're next up here on Late Night.
Hey, what's up? Thanks for having me on.
My pleasure, Paul. What's on your mind, man?
A couple quick cool stats about Wakefield. I think in 05, 06, he was like 16-9. And he also led the league with the most one-run losses. He had 5 games where he lost either 1-0 or 2-1. So let's just say he wins 4 out of those 5. He would have been a 20-game winner. Might have won the Cy Young. And I think he either tied or came close to tying the record for most home runs given up in a win, where he got the win. And that was in 04. He gave up 7 home runs in a game that he won like 9-8.
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
So that's Tim Wakefield.
I love Tim Wakefield. Like, I see him around the park. He's a great guy, and he was a great player for this team for nearly 2 decades. For me, that 03 Boone moment is never going to go away. So when you have a knuckleballer potentially playing a significant role in the postseason like you're going to have this year, it's always going to give me just a little bit of pause, Paul.
Yeah, I guess as a manager or managers, you got to do your research on how the lineup that he's facing does against knuckleballers,
right?
Especially in the playoffs. The Red Sox, as far as the bullpen goes and people struggling and all that, and the lack of postseason success across the board throughout this whole lineup, I'm not worried because of this one thing. I think professional athletes, especially if you're wearing a Red Sox uniform, when they have that prove-it-to-me moment, I think most of them usually step up, and I think these guys are going to do that.
I hope they do. I really do. I feel like this year's got to be the year, Paul. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. That you can't have 3 straight years of winning the AL East and 3 straight years of bowing out in the first round. It's simply unacceptable. And with the reinforcements that this team was given as compared to last year's team and the team before that, the year before that, this team is better equipped for a prolonged postseason run. We've talked about that ad nauseum for the last 6 months here. This team has got just about every tool needed to put together a prolonged postseason run, and that's the sin of this entire thing, right? If this team ultimately fails because they don't have that one piece or 2 pieces coming out of the bullpen, they don't have that middle relief that they really did need, and that's the ultimate downfall of this team, it's going to be unacceptable, and that's going to fall on Dombrowski's shoulders. It has to. They put a lot of faith in these guys, and you've had plenty of evidence all season long. This team has been horrific when it comes to save opportunities post All-Star break. They've had 24 save opportunities. They have blown 12 of them. Doesn't mean that they lost all 12 of those games, but they have blown 12 save opportunities out of 24 chances since the All-Star break. That is a scary, scary number if you're a Red Sox fan. That number alone has to give you a little bit of pause, and I think that number might be more significant than the ultimate win total here. So if this team winds up winning 107 games, 108 games, 109 games, whatever that number is, I think the number that's got more impact is 12. 12 out of 24 blown saves since the All-Star break. That tells a more accurate story of this team's struggles, of what could potentially be the major pitfall for this team in the postseason. But until then, you've got a little bit of time left here to continue to work things out. And I think that's what Cora has got to do now. He's got the luxury of time. Everything's buttoned up. Everything's sewn up nice and neat here. And now you've got to get guys primed and ready to play the role that Cora is going to hand to them. First and foremost, tomorrow night, Chris Sale. We saw one inning from Chris Sale about a week and a half ago. Three innings is next time out. What is the expectation for Chris Sale tomorrow in Cleveland? You know, in my opinion, you need to see at least five innings from Chris Sale. You do. You're running out of time here to get that shoulder right, to get his arm strength back to where it needs to be. For this team to be the postseason monster that we hope they can be, you're going to need the best out of Chris Sale. You are going to need the best out of David Price. It doesn't take a baseball savant to know that. But right now, Chris Sale still has to be something that you've got some worry over, right? I mean, he's the ace of the staff. He is a potential Cy Young winner. And when you look at innings pitched in the last month, what's it, four innings? It's not good enough at this point in the season. It's a huge, monumental question mark that is yet to be answered for this team. So tomorrow night, Chris Sale, it's a critical game, although the game will mean nothing in the standings for the Boston Red Sox as they've locked up the AL East for the third straight year. Ultimately, tomorrow night's a very big game. It's a game that carries a tremendous amount of weight and a lot of significance because all eyes are going to be on Chris Sale. What is Chris Sale able to do? How many pitches is he allowed to throw? Are we going to see Chris Sale for four innings, five innings, six innings? Whatever his output is tomorrow night, I think is going to go a long way towards telling us exactly how long he's going to be able to go in the postseason. Because I read a story that Cora would like to pitch him tomorrow and then the last game of the season. Pitching that last game of the season is a problem for me. This is a projected game one, game two starter. Does it make a lot of sense to pitch Chris Sale in the final game of the season if you want him to have a quick turnaround there and pitch game one or game two of the playoffs? That's a question that I guess we'll leave for whatever happens after tomorrow night. There'll still be some time for Cora to work with and figure things out and align his postseason schedule, his postseason rotation. But until then, it's still a big question mark. So now you look at this team and you look at question marks that need to be answered. You have to start with Chris Sale, and then it goes into middle relief. And if those questions continue to get answered in a positive way, the Boston Red Sox should have prolonged postseason success. They've got certainly enough offensive talent, and their pitching staff certainly is talented enough overall to get the job done. You know, Dave Dombrowski has assembled a veteran team with the right young pieces that I think should be capable of a prolonged postseason run. But it's always the little things that do these uber-talented teams in. It's always the little things like middle relief or an injury that you just weren't able to get over. So when you look at Chris Sale, if Chris Sale's not able to be the Chris Sale that we've seen him be this season, that's going to be a huge problem for this Red Sox team, because how do you make up for Chris Sale's production? How do you make up for Chris Sale's dominance? This team needs Chris Sale to be able to go out there and go six, seven innings and be the Chris Sale that he's been all season long. I think tomorrow night, all eyes are going to be on Chris Sale. We'll know a lot more about what this team potentially should be able to accomplish in the postseason after we see what Chris Sale is able to do in his third rehab start back tomorrow night in Cleveland against Terry Francona and his Indians. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy. Plenty of room for you tonight as we celebrate your Boston Red Sox 2018 American League East champion Boston Red Sox at 617-779-7937.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
And now that banner can go up. Yeah, the tense negotiations that are going on with the guys from Malden continue, I guess. But now it can actually go up, and it's just a great day for the organization to get back to the postseason. October baseball is what it's all about.
We want to give it back to them because it belongs to them, and it doesn't belong to us. Yep. But in reciprocation, we would like, you know, maybe to go to a nice playoff game. Or we're looking for something. We just don't want to hand it over to them.
Well, handed over, they did, apparently. The Red Sox got their banner back, and apparently our two friends there walked away empty-handed. And now, apparently, I'm reading tonight that the state police have launched an investigation into these guys. Maybe the banner didn't so innocently fall off the back of a truck like they told everybody that was willing to put a microphone in front of their face. It's been a hilarious 24 hours with those guys. They have been everywhere, and I think they may have overplayed their hand just a little bit here.
Well, I mean, my man had to run across three lanes, traffic.
Like, everything that they said, it's hilarious. And it's like a skit. They are absolutely a Saturday Night Live skit making fun of Boston, yet they're real. These are real people that get up every day. I assume they go to work every day. They function in society every day. These are real people. So these people do really exist, but I do find it funny. I do find it ironic that the state police are literally launched an investigation into these guys, maybe disputing their claim that this thing fell off the back of a truck. It is sports radio.
In a brown paper bag. First thing I said, this belongs to the Red Sox. This is for Fenway Park.
Yeah.
It's for Fenway Park. Whenever they said that this is supposed to hang off the Green Monster, I knew that they weren't legit. I mean, those things, anybody that's ever been to Fenway knows those banners hang outside the park around the building. It is sports radio, WEI. It is Red Sox Review. I am Patrick Gilroy. Plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937, talking about your 2018 American League East champion Boston Red Sox. They win tonight in New York. They wrap this thing up, a big champagne shower celebration immediately following the game. Everybody really enjoying themselves. What a stark contrast. I remember being here a couple of years ago. It was like my first week here with Christian Arkan, and the Red Sox won the AL East, but it was a night where they lost in New York. But other things outside of their control happened. They wound up winning after a loss, and it was such a tempered celebration. And you could tell that people felt awkward about, you know, popping bottles after a loss, but they did. And it was just a weird feeling in that clubhouse after that game. And to see the stark contrast tonight, these guys, there's legitimate joy. There's legitimate celebration there. This team's accomplished something. They're going to go down in history as the best regular season edition of the Boston Red Sox in the history of this franchise. Now, some people put more weight onto regular season success than others. I'm not one that thinks it carries a tremendous amount of weight. I go back to 2001. You look at that Mariners team that won 116 games. I could be wrong by a game or two there, but I believe it was 116 games, and they wound up losing to the Yankees in the championship series in five games. And I believe the Yankees had 20 or 21 fewer victories that year than the Mariners. So yes, it's fun, it's exciting, it's always a joyous experience to do what the Red Sox were able to do tonight, and to win your division and win it in the way that this Red Sox team has won it, going wire to wire all season long. Remember, going into this season, this was the Yankees' division to lose. Every single major news outlet across this country, Las Vegas and everybody else in between, chose the Yankees to win the AL East. They were the predominant favorite going in. People were sort of mocking the Red Sox for their prolonged salary negotiation with J.D. Martinez. Meanwhile, the Yankees are opening up the checkbook to every free agent that they ultimately called on. And they gave $200-plus million to Giancarlo Stanton. And look what he had a very good year, but nothing compared to what J.D. Martinez has been able to do. J.D. Martinez right now was the best signing last offseason and probably the greatest bargain in Major League Baseball right now. The sin of that is, following next season, he's got an out in his contract, and he's absolutely going to take that out if he has a season next year that's even 80% of what he had this year. So that's another reason why I look at this team and I say this is the year. It's got to be the year that this team makes a prolonged postseason run. Mookie is doing incredible damage out there. J.D. Martinez, both those two guys playing at a legitimate MVP level right now. Those two guys combined with two elite starters in David Price and in Chris Sale, this team has got talent that other teams simply do not have. It's still, for me, though, it's that lack of talent in a couple of critical spaces, specifically middle relief. That is a problem for this team right now. You've got other issues as well. I mean, when you look at the catchers on this team, I'm sorry, but offensively, these guys are challenged. And as the season has gone along, it's gotten worse and worse and worse offensively for that position for this Red Sox team. So they're going to have their holes. They're going to have their difficulties. But I think what makes this team a little bit different from teams of Red Sox past, specifically the 93-win teams from the previous two seasons, is I think that the elite talent on this team is elite enough to overcome those holes. I think that the elite talent on this team is enough to overcome the lack of an elite middle reliever. I really do. I think that they're going to find a way. And I know a lot of people out there think that the lack of middle relief is going to be the pitfall of this team, is going to be the downfall of this team. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty in the postseason, but I'm saying that ultimately when you're able to have the luxury of moving Nathan Eovaldé into that position and you've got Steven Wright working the way that he's been working over the last 3 to 4 weeks, I think those holes can be plugged. It may not be the prettiest plug in the world. It may spring a little bit of water. There may be some leaks along the way. But I think that the elite talent on this team ultimately can be enough to overcome those deficits. It is Sports Radio WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. Back out to the phones. We'll go. Let's go to Wally. Wally's in Fall River. Wally, you're next up here on WEEI.
What's up, Patrick? No, you have to give the coaching staff credit, too, from the first day of spring training. These guys were well prepared. You look at the whole season, they really never beat. You had a few lulls, but it just seemed like this whole team was on cruise control. But
Remember back in May and in June when this team started to really, really roll. Everybody waited for, them to lose 9 out of 12 and have one of those stretches that every team has. This team never had that stretch.
No, this team had a business. I mean, Cora, the coaching staff, everybody, they had a business-like approach to every game. They knew what they were doing. But as far as the bullpen, I mean, you got to have Wright out there. He's got the rubber arm. And, they'll still be auditioning, but I think it's going to end up being Wright, Eovaldé, and Bonds as your main relievers. But one curious thing, the Yankees don't – who would you rather face in a playoff? I mean, the Yankees don't have the home field advantage wrapped up yet. The Red Sox could still have a say in that in the last weekend. But I'd rather face Oakland. I don't know about you and in the division series.
Well, I mean, I think that Oakland's one of those teams that nobody really sees a lot of here, but to me that they're sneaky good. And I think with the Yankees, at least, Wally, you know what you have in the Yankees, right? So I think it's all about, again, for this Red Sox team, if they're able to set their pitching staff up in the way that I know Cora would want to, which is ultimately you want to avoid having David Price pitch in New York. If you can set it up and avoid that situation, then I think the Yankees are a more beatable opponent than Oakland. I think Oakland's a scary team. They're one of those teams, they play baseball in such a way where they just play mistake-free. And teams like that tend to have some postseason success. And they've got a great bullpen. They're just a team that does all the little things right. And I think when you do enough of those little things right over the course of a postseason, it can add up. With this Yankees team, they're a lot like the Red Sox. They rely on offense. And teams that rely on offense can be had in the postseason. So I think that the Yankees are more beatable for this Red Sox team than Oakland. But that's just my two cents, Wally.
No, I have to agree with you on that point. But like I said, this is just a special team. But like Cora said, they just have a business-like approach. They take one game at a time. But we're just going to have to wait and see. But I think another key is they're going to have to jump out to early leads and take a little pressure off the starting pitches. But you want to get at least 5 or 6 innings from your starters.
You need to. This team is going to need to more than other teams in the past. Wally, listen, I appreciate the phone call. Wally just nailed it there. His last point is absolutely right. You're going to need a minimum, I think, of 6 innings from your starters. Again, that's another way in which you can help overcome your lack of middle relief. If you're only getting 5 innings from your starters, then you need to fill more innings, right? I mean, it's very simple math. But if you can fill 2 innings in middle relief to get to your closer, that I think is manageable between Steven Wright, Nathan Eovaldé, and Barnes. I think between those three, you've got just enough to overcome the other holes that you have in that bullpen. So when I look at this team, I say, okay, they need to find a way to get 6 innings from Chris Sale. That's why Chris Sale's start tomorrow is so big. It's a game that statistically doesn't mean anything in the standings. This team wrapped up what they needed to wrap up tonight. I get that. But if you're a Red Sox fan, you still want to pay very close attention to what you see tomorrow when this team heads to Cleveland. Because Chris Sale, one inning isn't going to get it done. Three innings ain't going to get it done. You're going to need to see Chris Sale really try to stretch it out a little bit further tomorrow night and see if he can't go five, six innings in his next start. Because you don't want that test, that initial test, six-inning test, to be game one of the playoffs. You know, if the last thing that you see is Chris Sale throwing three innings tomorrow in Cleveland like he did his last time out, how comfortable are you going to feel if he gets the ball game one, game two, and the expectation is for him to go five, six, seven innings? To me, that math doesn't compute. You got a guy like Chris Sale with a veteran arm, it still needs to be stretched out a little bit further to get him back on track to being that six, seven inning type guy. And that's exactly what this Red Sox team is going to need him to be. And I don't think Chris Sale is the type of guy that is going to pitch through an injury, despite the fact that this team is one of the favorites to win a World Series. When you look at Chris Sale and you look at his contractual situation, he's going to have an opportunity coming up after next year to get one last giant payday. And when you look at the history of guys, look no further than a guy like Isaiah Thomas for the Celtics in the 2017 playoffs. He laid it all out there and he played through that hip injury. He was a guy that was going to get a $100 million guaranteed contract. Because he played through that injury and he worsened the injury, what happened? He was lucky to get $2 million. He lost $98 million and maybe more for playing through an injury. So when you look at Chris Sale, Chris Sale has got to be right. He's got to be healthy. And he's not one of these guys, I don't think, that is going to put his potential future earnings on the line to pitch a postseason for the Boston Red Sox. It is Sports Radio. WEEI, it is Red Sox Review. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Patrick. Patrick is at work. Patrick, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, Pat, how you doing, man?
Good, man. What's going on?
Not much. So, look, 3 years in a row, AL East champs, you know, it's a great feeling, although it's kind of bittersweet after the last two seasons we had. You know, going into the postseason, I really feel like this team needs to be firing on all cylinders. You know, the bullpen is definitely hurting right now, although this year we have, you know, JD in the lineup, which is a great advantage, you know, although to me he's no David Ortiz.
He's not, but you know what? He's not a bad, you know, I don't know, baby version of David Ortiz. And don't forget, we won't know what JD is until he has a couple of opportunities for heroic moments in the playoffs. Because, you know, David Ortiz was an awesome regular season hitter for a long, long time here. But what made David Ortiz the legend that he is was the home runs in the postseason, was the winning hits in the postseason, was all those memorable moments, the clutch hits that he had over the course of a decade, decade and a half. So JD right. Martinez, one great year here in the regular season. That's awesome. Let's see what happens when he comes up, you know, in a critical situation in the postseason.
Absolutely, because, you know, I'm kind of worried in the sense that, you know, yeah, we swept the Yankees, you know, a little while back, but it seems like the teams that we're going to face in the postseason, you know, we're sneaking one win out of the series, you know, and we're really struggling, putting runs on the board. And, you know, the bullpen's going to be a huge problem. And, you know, World Series would be great right now, but you know, this team really just has to get on its high horse with all cylinders, like I said, and hopefully the offense can carry it.
Yeah, I hope so, Patrick. And look, everybody is expecting this team to have a prolonged postseason run. That's what they paid these guys to do. This is a veteran-heavy team. They've got the highest payroll in all of Major League Baseball. They didn't get this payroll. They didn't pay all these guys the money that they're making for 5 years from now. This is not a team that's building for the future. This is not a team looking to take their next progressive step in their postseason success. This is not a team that's simply looking to get out of the divisional series and put up a fight in the championship series. No. Some teams are happy to do that. Some teams are content to build year after year after year. That's not what this Red Sox team is doing. This is not Brad Stevens' first year with the Celtics, where you go for 26 wins, then 40, then 48, then 53, then 55, and eventually, hopefully this year, the expectation is the NBA Finals. That was a step-by-step, multi-year process to get to where the Celtics are hoping to get to. This Red Sox team did what the Yankees used to do. They threw a bunch of money at the right guys, and now you have to be considered one of the favorites to at least reach a World Series. But it's going to be these guys that don't make the big money. It's going to be these guys, the middle relievers, the unsung heroes that could potentially make or break exactly how prolonged this Red Sox postseason is. It is Sports Radio, WEEI. It is Red Sox Review. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls on your Boston Red Sox, your 2018 American League East champions, and eventually we will talk a little bit about Josh Gordon, the demons that he has faced in his previous, I don't know, the previous 10, 15 years of his life, going all the way back till he was 7 years old. I did a bunch of research on this guy. He is not the demon. He is not the addict that he's been made out to be. I'll explain it all in hour number two when we come back right here, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.